The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
It's my privilege to introduce John Hutchinson. John's going to be sharing the word with us this morning. John's wife Julie is here as well, and son Ben. Ben was a part of our church, what, 7 or 8 years ago, Ben? About that, for a couple of years, the young adult. And John and Julie got a daughter, Stacey, who's married to Josh, and they've got a grandchild as well. But he's not as old as me, so yeah, anyway. John's a guy I've known for 35 years and done a lot of ministry together, and one of my best mates. And I'm really encouraged by John in so many ways. He's been in ministry in numbers of churches, even a Baptist church. I mean, he's been a minister there. He's been the senior minister at Busselton Church of Christ, and had a couple of years in the Philippines working with a friend of ours called Tom Randall, just with basketball and building teams and things like that. A lot of ministry over there. And currently he's working with Churches of Christ with Tanya Watson and myself, but John's role is primarily working with leaderships and pastors of churches to help them transition into stages and just basically putting out fires, helping them work through stuff together. So it's great to have John with us this morning. He's the sort of guy that you'd love to have in the trench with you. I said in the earlier service, I think he'd die for me, but John didn't think he would. But he's a guy that you want to know that he's there. He's always there for you. So give John a hand as he comes.
Well, I actually said I hope that theory doesn't have to get tested. But we have been in a lot of sticky situations and a few precarious situations together. So it's great to be here. 2015, it's here, and a new year. And what are your hopes for this year? I hope that you want it to be different to last year. Who's been on holidays already this year? Oh, wow, good on ya. Well done. Who's still to go on holidays? I know there's still a few people. I know a lot of you go down to Busselton as a group, and some are down there now and that sort of thing. We love going on holidays as a family ourselves. And one of the things that we love to do is camp. And Jeremy's going to stick up a couple of pictures here. It's taken a couple of years ago at one of our favourite and memorable campsites, and we'll jump to the next one, Jeremy. Thanks, you can leave that one up. It's a place called Rocky Pool, and it's just outside Carnarvon. And we got there and we camped earlier in the afternoon, and Ben and our son-in-law went for a swim. I think we all went for a swim. And then the sun set, and you can see the water just going like glass. It's just one of those perfect nights. Well, perfect until about 11 o'clock, and I was asleep, and I woke up, and I could feel this tenseness inside of me, and I'm thinking, what is going on? And then I realized that somebody about 400 meters away had started up this generator, and I go, what are you doing? And it wasn't like one of these new ones that you can't hear. It was one of the old ones that doesn't matter how far away, you can hear it. And I thought, what is going on? I just couldn't get back to sleep. So I got up, and the coals were still hot, made a cup of tea. And then I just stood there. And I turned, and I looked at the water. And there's like a mirror. And in the water, all of a sudden, I realized that I could see the stars. I thought, wow. So what it caused me then to turn and to begin to look at the heavens. You know what? I forgot about the generator. Didn't even hear it anymore. I don't know whether it's still going. May have even been turned off. But I completely forgot about it. And then I kept looking at the stars, and something inside of me just began to give thanks to God. And just for the creation and just being in that moment. It's so quiet. So still. And as I turned and I looked up, I saw the Southern Cross. And as a little guy, 45 years or so ago, my dad taught me how to find south using the Southern Cross and the two pointers. And in my mind, I went through it and thought, oh, yeah, there's South. And I thought, wow, it hasn't changed. And just as that thought went through my mind, it hasn't changed, as if God said to me, as I was looking at the stars, I haven't changed either. Who I am hasn't changed. My ways haven't changed. And I remembered the verse in Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, 2015, how real is God for you? You know, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, how real is He in your life? Or how real will you allow Him to be for you in 2015? See, how real He is for you will impact how you believe. Let me share you a story. It's a real recent story. Thanks, Jeremy. I'll keep wanting to go off if I keep looking at that picture. This story. We celebrated it just recently, the Christmas story. And it starts with Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the priests working in the temple. And an angel comes to Zechariah and says, your wife's going to have a baby. And he's going to be John the Baptist. But listen to Zechariah's response. Now, this guy's a priest. He's working in the temple, okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So there's Zechariah. He didn't believe, and that was a consequence. Turn the page, and we have the other half of this story. Mary, okay, Jesus' mother. Angel comes to Mary. Let's listen to what happens here. Verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me according to your word. And the angel left her. Little bit of a different response. And I skipped. I missed out one verse there. So the difference was this, was verse 37, where it says, for no word from God will ever fail. Friends, how real will you allow God to be to you this year, 2015? Do you want 2015 to be an adventure? On your notes, your sermon notes, it's great to ask to have a bit of paper. And if you haven't got a pencil, I think there's some pencils around. But you may like to take a note or something this morning, because I believe God's real. And I want to ask you, are you expecting God to say something to you this morning? Are you curious about what God wants to say to you? Start of a new year. If you'd like a pencil, there's some coming around now. You see, we know that if we just, you can sit, you can listen to me, and you'll walk out the door and you'll forget 95% of what I say. That's all right. But if you write it down, if God speaks to you and you write it down, you have a 75% chance of remembering it or taking it with you and doing something with it. So if you are excited or you want God to speak to you, expect it. You see, how real God is helps us in how we believe. Not only that, is how real God is helps us in how we listen. You know, little Johnny comes up to Mummy and says, Mummy, Toby and Jimmy are playing firemen out the back. Mummy doesn't take much notice, you know, little Johnny, can I go play with them? Yeah, sure. Well, Mummy's okay until the neighbour comes in and goes, Mrs. So-and-so, do you realise the boys have a bonfire going out the back and are building it bigger? See, sometimes it depends on who's saying and who's coming to speak to us, how we listen. Luke chapter 9, verse 35. God says, this is my son, listen to him. See, how real God is for you will help and will determine how you listen to him this year. Some of you have grown up in Sunday school. And whether you've been in Sunday school or not, doesn't matter. In the scriptures, in Sunday school, we taught a little song, The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock. Someone know that? And the Foolish Man Built His House Upon the Sand. Okay, got a few nods. Okay, the wise man's house stands firm when the rain comes down. The foolish man, his house falls down when the rain comes. What's the key point? You can read that story in Luke chapter 6, or you can read it in Luke chapter 6, 46 and 47, or you can read it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24-25, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. If you remember that song, what's the key point? What's the key learning thing that we're trying to learn from that in the scriptures? Build our house on the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. Anything else? Build it on his word, yes. There's a man, if I had a Mars bar, I'd give it to you. Okay, see, we often forget. See, there's a little line, there's one line at the start of that story. And it says, those that hear my words and put them into practice are like. You see, we can listen. God says, this is my son, listen to him. But what do we do with that listening? When we listen, what do we do with that? See, God wants us to do something with that. And as I was reading Luke, when I was finding my way through Luke, God was challenging me about my prayer life. Over and over again, at this season in my life, a couple of years ago, God was challenging me about my prayer life. And he seems to continue to do that. I'm going to ask Jeremy to play a video clip and just watch.
He's filling the boat with two of every kind of animal. Still to be collected, two giraffes, two elephants, and one more jackass.
He's a mook.
Jerks.
Don't worry about it, you guys. Come on, eat up.
Not hungry.
Yeah, me neither.
You guys can't eat, I can't stop.
Can you go to the bathroom?
Me too.
Okay, Dylan, go with them. These?
Fine.
Oh, excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up.
Thank you.
Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No, it's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband? Have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Noah in the ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story. About believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. Mm-hmm. You know, they stood by each other, side by side. Just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage, or does he give them opportunity to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
Thanks, Jeremy. As I said, I don't get my theology from movies, but I agree with that. How's God wanting your faith to grow? Or do you want your faith to grow? You see, when I was going through this time and God was challenging me about my prayer life. Now, this is my story. And the incredible thing about God is that he sees you, each one of you, as a unique individual. He's the only one who knows your situation now, right where you are, what you're facing, what you're going through, what you're going to go through in 2015. But see, one of the things, the ways he challenged me was in my prayer life, he gave me opportunities to continue to pray and see him answer. Well, a number of years ago, I had an operation, and this is my second bottom lip. Some of you, I'm not sure, may have had the operation, because they had a sunspot on there, so they took the top surface of my bottom lip off, and then they drew the inside out and stitched it, 25 stitches across there. And Julie threatened to sue the doctor if I couldn't still kiss her, but no, it's. But since then, I've been very careful with my bottom lip. And so I carry one of these things, just a chaplet with me everywhere. Well, it was at this time, and I love to run, and I love to swim, and usually love to jump in the water after I've run, especially along the beach. And so this day I was running on the beach, and no one else was on the beach because it's pretty crazy out there. Huge swell, pretty massive. And no one else was there. And I thought, do I go in? Don't I? Do I go in? I thought, I'm going in. And so I went in and came out. And I went to my pocket and my little chapstick was gone. Now, remember, this is my story. And it's just don't usually in this sort of situation would go to prayer. But I felt this prompt from God go, pray about it. And I said, well, Lord, it was new. I hardly used it. Whole $2.50. But, Lord, I don't want to lose it. And so I grabbed my towel, started walking up the beach, and there right on the beach, being washed in right in front of me, was my chapstick. Now, what I felt and God saying to me was, I am interested in the little things of life. I am interested in the little things that are happening in your life. Let's flip to the other end of the scale. And my dad, I grew up playing with bees because it was dad's hobby. And I've lost count of the number of bee stings I've had. And in the hundreds. And this day, I was down in Busselton. Dad had a couple of hives in a friend's place. He brought in a top box so that the bees could continue to build the honey. So I thought, oh yeah, no worries. So we didn't have any gear on. Let's just take the lid off, slide the box on, put the lid back on. Well, thought it was going to be that easy. Sure enough, slid it back on, but two bees came out and whack! Struck me two stings straight in the side of the eye. No big deal, you know, stung hundreds of times. And but began to feel a little bit different. I thought, well, this is different. And lucky it was only a 10-minute drive home, because we drove home, I walked inside and collapsed. And I'm 98 kilo and a little hard to move when I'm a dead weight. So Julie got the neighbour and raced me up to the hospital. And of course I'd had an anaphylactic reaction and that. So after that, I was meant to carry an EpiPen with me. All right, you know one of those things? I think most people know what an EpiPen is. And here's the crazy thing of the story is that probably 2 years later, went to a men's camp and came home, it was summer, and that night, and then went to bed. And that night, it was a stinking hot night. Didn't have any sheets on. I felt this tickle down on my knee. I thought, what's that? I stuck my hand down there and got stung. Who gets stung by a bee in their bedroom? You know? And I go, for goodness sake. And so Julie, she jumps up, goes to the fridge. She just wants to jab me with that thing, you know? Whoa, hang on a minute. Give us, you know, I'm not passing out yet. And but she wouldn't let me go back to sleep. And I said, let's pray about it. Again, just that prompting, will you pray about it? And we prayed about it and went off to sleep. She never got to jab me. And I never had an instance. But I go, crazy situations. But I go, it was God challenging me and giving me opportunities to see his reality in little things and some pretty significant things. I tell you story after story with David and travelling on mission teams and with Phil down here. We've seen things happen. I come back to the point, how real will you allow or seek after God this year? So that he can influence how you believe, how you listen to him. You know, if you'd like $50, stand up, turn around, come out the front. Now, you know, if... there we go, good man. Well done. There we go. You know, in the first service, I had to say that. That's the first time someone's come up first time. Three times. Who could use $50 here? Yeah. You guys, way too slow. See, in Jesus' time, he spoke in Hebrew, and sometimes we lose translation. We lose the meaning of a word or the meaning of what's being said. See, Jesus used a word called Shema, all right? Now, I'm not swearing at you. It's spelled S-H-E-M-A. The core meaning behind that word is to listen, to hear, and obey. In other words, you haven't heard until you act. All right? So you all heard me. Only one person acted. All right? So God's saying, will you listen to me? But the reality is when Jesus spoke about listening and hearing him, we haven't heard until we actually put it into practice. You know, this year, 2015. What's God asking you to put into practice? How's he asking you to believe in a different way? So you actually believe and it influences how you act. How's he asking you to actually listen so that you can hear him and allow it to change your life? You know, in Isaiah 55, verse 3 and 4, four times it says, listen, listen, come to me, give me your ear. You know what the rest says? I love this one translation. It says, so that your soul may live, or it goes, so that you may have life. God goes, will you listen to me? But when he says, listen, it's like we live in this age of knowledge now. We can punch a button called Google and find out information on just about anything. Now, we can have knowledge, but unless we act on it, God's saying, you don't really know it. You haven't heard me in what I'm asking you to do or what I'm saying. There's a guy called Peter. In the Bible, he was a fisherman. And he fished all his life until he met Jesus. He's a professional fisherman. There's a story in Luke chapter 5, and it talks about the fishermen. They'd been out all night fishing. And some of you may know the story. If you don't, you can read it. How many fish did they catch? How many fish? None. Yeah. Man, what a disappointment. Fish all night. I love fishing. I don't like going home without any fish. But these guys are professionals. And then the next morning, Jesus talks to the crowd, gets in Peter's boat. But then he says to Peter, he goes, Peter, go back out with your boat and chuck your nets out again. You go, hang on a minute, this guy's a carpenter. And he's telling a professional fisherman how to fish. It's like, you know, going to a mechanic or something and asking them how the stock shares work or something. It's like going to a doctor and saying, can you fix my teeth, instead of going to a dentist. It's like, no, asking the wrong person. But see, Peter knew where God said, this is my son, listen to him. And Jesus is challenging Peter's logic. He wants something new for him. See, the whole thing is like, when we hear God's word so often, we want to apply it and filter it with our logic. You know, the logic of, did he really say that? If I want $50, go and get it. Did he really say that? So some of you are going, what do you do? See, what do we do with God's word? See, God's going, I want you to get rid of your own logic. See, you think, you know, Peter goes, Jesus says, go out in the daytime, totally opposite time. Jesus says, feed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. See, in our logic, we go, huh? No way in the world. Jesus walks on water. We go, huh? Get out of here. Friends, if you want 2015 to be significantly different, this is one guarantee I can make. I don't make many guarantees. If you will believe, if you will listen, and if you will put into practice what Jesus is saying to you. Now, it may look different for each and every one of you. For some of you, let me go back one. Jeremy, can we put that slide up? See, Peter's response was this, but because you say so, I will. And I want you to take your notes. I want you to finish that statement for yourself. Now, you may not have something now, but I guarantee if you keep asking that question, or the question this week, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to listen so that you can finish that statement? But because you say so, not because of my logic, not because of the world's logic, but because Jesus says it. It may be something like, you may need to seek forgiveness from someone. Or you may need, Jesus says, I want you to forgive someone so that your past doesn't determine your future. I want you to stop judging. I want you to listen to me so you can hear. I want you to pray for someone. I want you to stop gossiping. I want you to choose love. I want you to do something about. It may be something very small. Guys, God doesn't ask us to jump mega canyons. He just says, are you willing to trust me and take one small step of faith in putting into practice what I'm asking you to do? Because as you take one step, you'll see that I am faithful. You'll see that I haven't changed. I am the God who will meet you right where you are now. I will help you. I will be there. I won't take your situations away. I may give you more opportunities to trust me and be more courageous and then to hang in there. But I will do it with you. How will you finish that statement for yourself? And can I encourage you to share it with someone? See, God never created us to journey on our own. He created us to live in community, created us to journey with friends. So if there is something and you are able to finish that statement, share it with someone and say, this is what I believe God is saying to me and calling me to do. Will you pray with me? Will you journey with me so that 2015 is an adventure with Jesus Christ? Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you are Lord God Almighty. Lord, I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, as we face this new year, Lord, may we step into it with the absolute confidence that you hear our prayers, you answer them. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And Lord, open our ears. Open the eyes of our heart that we can hear you and we can take steps of faith that trust in you and see how real you are.